approve the administration of order. We are going to meet very briefly right now to move the calendar for Monday, or for Tuesday, excuse me, May 6th, which is Nurses Day.
Congratulations.
Representative Benson.
Madam Chair, I'd like to move the minutes for May 1st.
Representative Benson moves the minutes for May 1st. Are there any questions? Seeing no questions, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Members opposed, say no, and that motion is adopted. Members, I'd like to move the proposed calendar for the day for Tuesday, May 6th. And note that for Senate File 2642, it's the chief author's intent to substitute the House language. Are there any questions? Seeing no questions, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
And those opposed, say no. And that motion is adopted. And just for members and for audience members, people who are here in the committee, we're going to go into a recess now. I anticipate that we will be back around 1:30, and we will be meeting in room 200 of the state office building and not in this room because there's a little more space there. Representative Kevin?
And then we'll be going back to session after that. How is that lucky?
I sure hope that by the time we come back to rules this afternoon that the floor session is more on.
Is there time before?
Yeah, the length of time of the floor session is dependent on our own actions.
Would there be a break between the floor sessions?
Depends on how long we are on the floor.
If we get done early?
I think what I'm hearing people ask is, are we going to take a break between the floor session and rules?
Yes.
It is my intention to come back together to rules around 1:30. All right? And if we get done with the floor session at 1:25, then there probably won't be much of a break. And if we get done with the floor session earlier than that, then there will be a break.
And if we finish at 3, then it'd just be back for that?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Just water.
Yeah, I know.
And then we don't have time for dinner.
All right. So I hope that's clear for everybody. So we'll see people back around 1:30 in room 200 of the State Office Building across the hall, across the street. And with that, members, we're
not going to throw lights today.
No.
I'd like to call the meeting back to order. Morning or good afternoon, members. It is Friday afternoon. It's 2:15, and I am glad to see so many people here. I want to let people know that it is Friday afternoon, and I know that there are members here that have travel ahead of them to get back to their districts and do the work they need to do this weekend. And certainly a lot of Minnesotans that are also here that probably are hopeful to get out into the sun, because I don't know if you noticed, but the sun is out. We haven't seen that for about a week, so that's a good thing. We are going to take up Representative Moline's legislation this afternoon, but I wanted to begin by acknowledging that we have a guest in the room whose birthday it is today. It is Amelia's birthday. Amelia's from Hibbing. I met her this fall. And when they're done here today, they're going to go to their cabin. So for all those reasons, I hope that we have a civil, and I do want to say this, this is an emotional issue for a lot of people, obviously. We're certainly feeling that here in the legislature in the last 24 hours. And it is always my hope that as we work on issues that are difficult, that we do it together and we do it as civilly as possible. And we have had a real good run for the most part in the Rules Committee, although I know yesterday I had to bite my tongue a little bit, and I know Kurt, Representative Delp, bit his tongue as well, and I apologize for that part. I think have had a good run of dealing with difficult issues in this committee in a very professional way, and I expect that same outstanding Minnesotan behavior this afternoon. Because I know that's been our tradition here, and that's obviously for our guests as well today. So I don't want to belabor that point. I'd like to get us started so we can get on our way. Representative Moline, welcome to the testifying table. I'd like to begin first by moving that we waive Rule 0.203 of the joint rules for Senate File 2740, and that is to get the bill before us. Are there any questions on that? Did I say 2470? Representative Dell.
Can you repeat what you just said?
I'm moving that we waive the rule, 2.03, to get the Senate File 2470 before us. All right? And members, as this moves on, it's going to go from here to Ways and Means. So are there any questions? Representative Hoppe?
Madam Chair, just a process question. After Ways and Means, does it go to HHS, Public Safety, Commerce, everybody down the list?
Thank you, Representative Hoppe. And the bill will be heard here. It'll be heard in Ways and Means, and then it will go to the General Register. Representative Dowd.
Yeah, Madam Chair, just to maybe in saving a little time, and I appreciate your comments, could you give us a little, this obviously is a fairly unconventional track for this bill, and I think, you know, my members have some concerns about this bill traveling in kind of an unconventional way. I think the subject area started in another bill. That bill, I believe, is in government operations. Now we're adding a DE amendment to a completely unrelated bill here in rules, moving it to Ways and Means, and then putting it on the General Register. That bill will skip numerous committees that it really, according to our House rules, needs to go to. Can you address why we're doing that, why we're not using the original bill that's in government operations right now, and why we're missing the committees that this bill really should be in front of? And I know it's unconventional as well for us to be taking testimony and doing an actual hearing and doing this here in the Rules Committee. This isn't something that we normally do. Usually we deal with the issue areas of these bills in the committees that have that issue area jurisdiction, because those are the committees that have the members that really dig into those issue areas, you know, I think there's a reason that that's been our practice. So do you want to kind of address that?
Thank you, Representative Dowd, and I will. Representative Moline has been working on the issue of finding a solution on medicine for kids with certain conditions, or medicine for Minnesotans with certain conditions. I know that her bill dealing with medical marijuana was heard in the Health and Human Services Committee and went on to the Government Operations Committee. Since then, I know she has been doing work with a number of people in order to find a path forward that she believes can be signed into law. With a lot of work with a lot of stakeholders and others, she is bringing this proposal forward. We find ourselves now in May, near the end of the session. While this is not the path that we always take, it is not unheard of. Certainly there have been examples, and I won't belabor them, of pieces of legislation that have gotten really no hearing but a floor debate. Amendments, whole bill ideas as amendments that go to the floor just as an amendment with no committee work. We are going to have this heard here. We are having a full hearing. It's been properly noticed. There will be a hearing in Ways and Means where we have both large committees with members and chairs with lots of expertise representing those committees, and then we'll have a full floor debate as well. So while there are committees that this certainly could be heard in, and we won't make all those stops, I do believe that many members will have a chance to weigh in both here in Rules and in the Ways and Means Committee and on the floor to give this bill the vetting that it needs before it goes on its way. So I appreciate the question. I understand its intention. All right. Seeing no further questions, I'll renew my motion. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
And those opposed, say no, and that motion is adopted. Representative Moline, I'm wondering if we would like to do the amendments to get your bill into the shape that you'd like it.
Yes, Madam Chair. Do I need to move the DE1 first? Madam Chair, I'd like to move the DE1 amendment.
Representative Moline moves the DE1. Representative Moline, could you briefly explain to the committee what the DE1 is?
Yes, Madam Chair and members. This is the Medical Cannabis Therapeutic Research Act. It starts out by allowing a clinical trial model for patients in Minnesota with certain qualifying medical conditions to be treated with medical cannabis in Minnesota. Those qualifying conditions that would allow a patient to be enrolled in a clinical trial are outlined in the DE1 amendment. Those conditions would be cancer, glaucoma, HIV/AIDS, Tourette syndrome, ALS, seizures, including those with the characteristic of epilepsy, severe persistent muscle spasms such as MS, and Crohn's disease. And it allows a practitioner to enroll a patient who's been diagnosed with one of those qualifying conditions into a clinical trial that is being overseen by a principal investigator who has experience and knowledge in conducting clinical trials. The way that the patients have the medical cannabis administered is through a couple different delivery methods, either a liquid or oil delivery method, pill delivery method, or a vaporized delivery method, so long as the vaporized delivery method is under in-person supervision of the practitioner. The contents of the medical cannabis have to be medically beneficial as determined by the person who's conducting the clinical trial. So the level of THC or CBD that would be found in the cannabis product has to be determined to be medically beneficial. And their smoking of medical cannabis is specifically prohibited in the bill. And members, the bill allows for the, or requires the Commissioner of Health to contract with a state-based manufacturer to provide the medical cannabis for the participants of the clinical trials. So it's a state-based sourcing, but a single-based manufacturer under some strict supervision of the health department. And all products have to be drug tested by a certified laboratory to determine the contents of the medical cannabis as recommended by the practitioner to be sure that it is the contents that are medically beneficial for that qualifying condition. This proposal doesn't contain any grow your own provisions or dispensaries, which is what we heard of a lot in the original bill. This just allows for the one state-based manufacturer under the purview of the Department of Health. The bill also allows for a oversight task force committee that's made up of two members of the House, two members of the Senate, four patient members, including two parents, four members of healthcare providers, four members representing the law enforcement community, four members representing substance abuse treatment, and then the commissioners of health, human services, and public safety. Those task force members are required to look at the overall research and impact of the clinical trials and report back to the legislature a couple different times, once in 2016 and then a final assessment in 2019. Members, there's also an appropriation in the DE1 amendment that allows for $1.1 million a year for the clinical trials themselves, for the principal investigator who conducts the clinical trials. The way that we set up the bill was more than one principal investigator can contract with the state. So, for example, if there's one clinic that wants to study just seizure disorders, they have the opportunity to do the clinical trial just for seizure disorders. If there's another principal investigator that wants to do the glaucoma study, they have the ability to contract with the state to do the glaucoma study. So we allow for money to those clinical, to those principal investigators to conduct the clinical trials. We also provide an appropriation to the Commissioner of Health for administrative costs and a one-time appropriation to the Oversight Task Force. There are also fees in the bill where the participants in the clinical trials, they don't pay to participate in the clinical trials, but they have to pay to obtain their medicine and the costs of manufacturing that medicine. So no state money goes to the manufacturer. That's based on patients paying a fee in order to obtain their medicine. And, Madam Chair, that, I think, sums up the DE1 amendment. I have a couple authors' amendments as well.
Representative Moline, there's a question from Representative Hopp.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Moline, I haven't heard this bill. Is this substantively the same bill that you were working on previously, or is this a peace in the valley result of negotiations?
Representative Moline.
Madam Chair, Representative Hoppe, this is certainly a result of negotiations from what the first bill was. The bill that was heard in Health and Human Services and passed in that committee provided for a different model in which there would be 55 dispensaries around the state, and it didn't have the clinical oversight that this bill does. We have been in negotiations with law enforcement throughout the interim and session to address some of their public safety concerns, and although they are opposed to the other bill, they've taken a position of neutrality on this proposal.
Thank you. And
Representative Hoppe.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I appreciate that, Representative Moline, because I haven't heard this. And kind of following up on where Representative Doubt was going earlier, as a probably not the longest rules committee member here, but one of them, just from a process perspective, not arguing either way on the merits of the bill, I think from a rules perspective, as a committee, I would put in a pitch for not having testimony, running through the amendments, and moving it on. Just from a process perspective, that would be my opinion. Not that you asked, but I sense that you were about to, Madam Chair.
Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Hoppe. Representative Moline.
Madam Chair and Representative Hoppe, although this is a very different approach, it's a more scaled-down approach. So a lot of the portions of this bill, all the qualifying medical conditions that were in the bill were in the original bill that was heard and passed. The delivery methods were in the original bill that was heard and passed. The fact that you have to have a practitioner basically recommend your use of medical cannabis was in the original bill. So, a lot of the pieces that are in this DE1 amendment, were heard in committee in the original bill. So I just wanted to be clear on that point.
Representative Hoppe.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Quick follow-up. And Representative Moline, I appreciate your efforts in working on negotiating this, and I'm not taking a position for or against the bill. I'm just thinking about this from a rules committee process. We typically have fairly short meetings. We move bills along. We don't usually hear testimony. That's my only argument here. I admire you for doing what you've done with negotiating, working with law enforcement and the governor's office. I think that's what we should be doing in the legislative process. I'm just thinking from this committee's perspective and that perspective only. I was personally just curious because I hadn't heard it. I didn't know if this was a completely new deal or some of the same. So thank you.
And thanks, Representative Hoppe. I do think that for a number of people, that obviously this issue is important, and we do have some people that have come from out of town. So what I'll do is ask people to be brief in their testimony, because we don't always take testimony here, but it is we have done it in the past. So we'll just ask that we be brief and focused. Representative Norton, Representative Anderson, Representative Pepin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a quick question. Because the bill has changed from its initial form, we're now delving a little bit more into the clinical aspect of this. And so I just want to be clear that this bill in no way prohibits clinical research, which could be going on already or may want to go on independent of this bill.
Representative Moline.
Madam Chair, Representative Norton, no. Yes.
Okay, that's fine. I just wanted to be clear.
Representative Anderson S.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think, given the fact that this is beyond what we normally do and that this is basically taking an education bill, and turning it into the medical marijuana bill. I think for, at least for the sake of transparency and having the public have some kind of input, at a minimum, I think that we should be waiving the 24-hour amendment rule. That way, if our constituents, and once they finally track down this bill, given the changing dynamic of the title and everything else, they at least have more flexibility and time to offer their input. So I would hope that, that's part of this process as well, given that this is a complete change of what this bill originally started at. We started off with schools, and now we're talking about medical marijuana. So I would encourage that.
Thank you, Representative Anderson. I will. And Representative Pepin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess sort of to echo what Representative Hoppe and Representative Anderson and Representative Dowd have said, I'm concerned about this not going through the committee process. I think that's in the wrong direction. I know this bill has been sitting on the GovOps, sitting in the possession of GovOps for, I don't know, maybe a month, month and a half or longer. I'm not sure why we didn't take it up there. There is a task force in there. There's rulemaking authority. There's also taxes in here. There's data practices issues that it should go to civil law. And so I'm very disappointed in the process that we're not going to vet those out thoroughly in the committee. Madam Chair, since we are taking this up today, will the commissioners of the Department of Health and the other departments that might be affected, will they be testifying as well to take questions?
Representative Pepin, I know that there is one commissioner in the room.
Madam Chair, do you know which commissioner it is?
I have seen the Commissioner of Health here.
Okay. Well, so he'll be able to answer questions on the task force and rulemaking and things like that?
I imagine that if we had questions for him, he would try and answer them.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Representative Moline, did you have amendments?
Yes, Madam Chair, I'd like to move the A1 amendment.
Representative Moline moves the A1 amendment.
Madam Chair and members, this on page 1, line 9, and page 2, line 31, deletes the word randomized in front of clinical trial. On page 3, line 23, we delete the word written. This is the provision that requires the principal investigator or the commissioner of health to notify all healthcare providers that these clinical trials are taking place. And it was suggested to us to remove the word written so they could notify them in some other way, mass publication, email, or some other way to provide flexibility there. On page 5, line 32, we delete the sentence. Line 32 and 33, delete, the commissioner shall give reasonable notice of an inspection. This is the language that has to do with the Commissioner of Health being allowed to inspect the manufacturer, and we delete the requirement that the manufacturer get notice of the Commissioner of Health so that, of course, the department has the flexibility of sort of showing up whenever they want to conduct an inspection. The drug formulary language in the A1 amendment adds medical cannabis to the exclusion list in the drug formulary division. I believe this was a request from the Department of Health to add that exclusion, and it's in conjunction with the A5 amendment, which just clarifies that medical assistance and Minnesota Care can't reimburse costs associated with the use of medical cannabis. Do you want me to move all the amendments at once, or?
Actually, Representative Moline, before we move the A1, I think it would be important for us to vote on the DE1.
Okay.
Okay. So I would like to renew my motion. Representative Moline renews her motion on the DE1. Are there any questions? Seeing no questions, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 And those opposed, say no. And that motion is adopted. Representative Moline has the A1 before us, which she's explained. Are there questions to the A1? Representative Loon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm sorry, Representative Moline. Can't see you. I'm not, familiar with all of the procedures and processes for establishing a clinical trial, but I do seem to recall that generally they are randomized, and you are deleting that. Can you explain how then the protocol for a clinical trial is this highly unusual?
Madam Chair, Representative Loon, from my understanding, we were deleting that word because there is a provision in the bill that allows for children under 18 to opt out of the placebo. That was important for a lot of parents. We already have some Minnesota families that have moved to Colorado and are already treating their kids with medical cannabis, so their fear was to, they want to move back to Minnesota, but to, face the possibility of having to remove their child from the medicine out there and then moving them back to Minnesota, and then they could be put on a placebo, greatly concerned them. So we allowed for an opt-out provision for kids under 18 to opt out of that placebo phase. So because of that, we didn't think it was accurate to say randomized.
Representative Loon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, Representative Moline, so for individuals over the age of 18, would that be randomized for those individuals? So would the opt-out only be for children?
Representative Moline.
Madam Chair, Representative Loon, yes, that's correct.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Are there any other questions? Seeing no further questions, then Representative Moline renews her motion on the A1. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
And those opposed, say no. And that motion is adopted. Representative Moline.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I'd like to move the A5 amendment, which I just spoke to briefly, but it just clarifies that medical assistance and Minnesota Care cannot reimburse an enrollee or provider for costs associated with medical use of marijuana.
Representative Fortman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I know we just adopted the DE. Now are we doing the A1 and then the A5?
Representative Moline. Representative Fortman, we did the DE1, the A1, and we're now on the A5.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Are there questions on the A5? Seeing no questions, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. And that motion is adopted. Representative Moline.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I'd like to move the A4 amendment.
Representative Moline moves the A4. Would you explain it briefly, Representative Moline?
Yes, Madam Chair and members. The A4 amendment clarifies, under the language of the bill, we have the clinical investigator who is, as I explained, usually your practitioner, distributing the properly labeled medical cannabis products to the patients. We're inserting language that says, or provide the patient with information and instructions on obtaining the properly labeled medical cannabis from a qualified employee of the principal investigator, who again is contracted with the Department of Health, with the responsibility of distributing the medical cannabis. And the reason we're adding that language is it came to our attention that there are some issues with physicians specifically directly dispensing medication to patients. And so because of that, we're allowing them the opportunity to explain to their patient how to obtain that medicine as opposed to directly dispensing the medicine to the patient.
Are there questions? Seeing no questions, all those in favor of the A4 amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
And those opposed, no. And that motion is adopted. Representative Moline.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. And the A6 amendment, I would like to move, Madam Chair. And the A6 amendment on page 8 deletes the exemption from taxes portion of the DE1 amendment, that entire paragraph that came at the request of the tax chair.
Representative Moline has moved the A8. Are there questions? I'm sorry, Representative Moline has moved the A6. Seeing no questions, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
And those opposed, say no. And that motion is adopted. And we have one more amendment, and that is the A7.
That's my amendment, Madam Chair.
Representative Ward?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And, Madam Chair, I would like to split the amendment. Members would look at it. I'd split it after line 1.5.
Representative Ward moves to divide the amendment between lines 1.5 and 1.6. And would you, Mr. McCormick, would you like to, or Ms. Olson?
Yeah.
And Representative Ward, are you going to move these separately or move a part and not another part?
I'd like to take the first part up first, Madam Chair.
Ms. Olson, could you just explain what is in the amendment, the first half of the amendment?
Yes, Madam Chair and members, Jamie Olson with House Research. The first half of the amendment deletes on page 1 and page 2 certain information in order to remove page 2, line 3, which allows the Commissioner of Health to approve any other delivery method aside from liquid, pill, or vaporization. The second half of the amendment is later on page 2, line 29, which removes the Commissioner of Health's ability to add medical conditions or its treatment to the list of qualifying medical conditions.
Thank you. And Representative Ward?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, Representative Moline, you know, I've checked in with a lot of my local folks on this bill. I've never supported any legalization of marijuana or medical marijuana in the past. And members, I'd encourage you. I at Easter break on a Monday, I went and saw a patient, a young child and his mother and father, Lincoln, great young kid. And you know, it put a new perspective into my thought process, quite frankly, members. So, having said that, I still checked with a number of my folks back in my district, especially my law enforcement folks, and some of my local law enforcement folks had a concern with these particular sections of the bill, Madam Chair, Representative Moline. And so, this would, the first part would then take away the Commissioner's discretion to include any other methods other than the methods that are in Representative Moline's bill. And that would, you know, that this would eliminate some of the concern of some local law enforcement people as well, Madam Chair, members, Representative Moline. So I would offer, I would ask your support for the amendment.
Representative Moline?
Thank you, Madam Chair and members, and I've had the opportunity to speak with Representative Ward about this issue, and this compromise is very carefully crafted, and, you know, when we say law enforcement down here, we're talking about, you know, I guess the law enforcement that spends a lot of time around here, and they did approve of this language. I do think, you know, it is important to allow the Commissioner of Health the flexibility to approve other methods of delivery, but I also realize that when we use broad terms such as law enforcement, we sometimes realize that back home, you know, maybe the opinions of people back home aren't, you know, the opinions of people that are working around the legislative process. And I understand that Representative Ward has these concerns have been brought to his attention, and I would ask members to adopt the first portion of the Representative Ward amendment so that he can address the concerns of his constituents.
Are there any other questions? Representative Lesh.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I've not... I've not been heavily engaged in this discussion recently on this point. And so is there anyone from law enforcement who is here who can explain why they have a concern over how the medicine is administered? Because I don't get that. Maybe I missed something in the newspaper.
Well, Representative Lesh, I think that the primary concern that I've heard expressed in the discussions that I've
been a part of is largely with smoking. And I've heard that expressed not only from law enforcement, but from health officials and members of the legislature. And so I think right now, as I understand it, and Representative Moline, you can correct me if I'm wrong, that this proposal allows for oil and pill and vapor. And those delivery methods are the primary methods used for delivery outside of smoking.
Madam Chair, yes, that's correct.
Representative Black.
Madam Chair, can I ask for someone? Well, maybe I should ask. No, I won't ask that. Is there someone from law enforcement who can give me that explanation? I heard your explanation, Madam Chair, but I mean, I've heard that that is a concern, that no one wants it to be smoked, but I don't know why. I don't know why that is. Maybe I'm just slow. So, but I bet if someone explained it to me, I could better understand it.
Madam Chair.
Representative Moline.
Madam Chair, Representative Lesh, I just want to be clear that my current language does not allow for smoking either. So it's of my opinion that the commissioner wouldn't be able to approve smoking under the bill. That was part of the compromise working with law enforcement. Representative Ward's amendment simply deletes the portion where the commissioner can approve another method. I don't believe that that method could have included smoking anyways, but the bill does allow for pills, liquid, or vaporized delivery, you know, which includes the ability of a patient to inhale the medicine. That's what vaporized delivery is, and we know that that is the most effective treatment for a lot of patients. So that language will remain and allow patients to have that option.
Well, and Madam Chair, that's the reason I'm asking. Maybe you around here know that my dad died of cancer 4 years ago. And before that, in the year and a half, it was pancreatic cancer, so it was rapidly progressing after he had the Whipple procedures, about a year and a half, which is standard. During that time, he was under chemo, and he had terrible nausea, and they offered him Marinol, which apparently is the name of the pill form, and he said, why in the world would I take a pill for nausea? And so, you know, I'm not sure how effective this oil is, but they ever have other methods. And like I said, I haven't been intimately engaged, but I think the political opinions about how a medicine is administered, I find very interesting. And so maybe it is appropriate for amendment to an education bill because opinions about how we educate kids are highly politicized, similar to how we medicate kids. So if that's the case, if that's all I'm going to get at this point, Madam Chair, I'll be satisfied with that answer. But ongoing, I imagine there will probably be ongoing discussion, and maybe folks who understand that nuance can help me out. Thank you.
Representative Pepin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This amendment, I think, is an appropriate time to talk with perhaps the commissioner that's here. Or maybe I should ask Mr. McCormick, I'm not sure. But to me, line 2.1 and 2.3 could be a contradiction. One says vaporized delivery method, which does not include smoking, but then 2.3 says any other method approved by the commissioner, which I'm not sure which one would supersede. So if there were a commissioner that wanted to, and the commissioner that's currently there may or may not be there next January, I'm not sure, Mr. McCormick, if one trumps the other, and I'm not sure that, Mr. McCormick, you're probably the right staff person, but if you could explain how the rulemaking process would work. Would the commissioner be required to go through? Which rulemaking process would the commissioner be required to go through?
Madam Chair and members, to clarify, there was a drafting error on page 2, line 1, where we did move the prohibition for smoking into that line. It was the intent of the author to prohibit smoking throughout the entire bill. So you are absolutely right, Representative Pepin, that there is that tension between page 2, line 1 and page 2, line 3, and that is something that needs to be addressed. And as far as the rulemaking process goes, there is no rulemaking prescribed in this draft.
Representative Pepin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, since there is a conflict, it seems only natural then we would support the word amendment, because there's a conflict here, and somebody would have to determine, because this saying any other medical or any other method approved by the commissioner means that the commissioner could potentially approve smoking. And so I think that we need to decide as a committee, and we can't let both of them go forward. So I think this is a natural amendment that we should put on. And then the rulemaking process, that the fact that it's not in here, I don't know if there's a default rulemaking process. We just had a rulemaking process that basically let agencies do pretty much anything they want without legislative approval and without hearing notice for people if they had questions or concerns or problems with the process. So if I know that maybe Mr. Shepard would be a really good person to ask about this, but I doubt if he's still here. But what would be the default rulemaking? How would citizens, if they had concerns with the process and the commissioner's ability to do what he or she wanted, how would citizens weigh in on that? What would be the notice requirements, the time requirements? Would there be signatures required? Is it expedited? Is it a good cause exemption? What is the default? You know,
Mr. McCormick.
Madam Chair, members, there is no rulemaking in this bill as it's all been approved. And so there would be no default rulemaking process. The letter of the law as written would be complied with by the commissioner.
Representative Tuppen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Mr. McCormick, then, am I to read this to believe that one person in the state of Minnesota, without having to have approval from the legislature, the governor, one citizen, a doctor, anything under this bill as it stands, one person who's appointed by the governor of the state would get to decide whether or not to allow medicinal marijuana in Minnesota?
Madam Chair, members, the decision to allow or not allow medical marijuana in Minnesota is going to be basically the legislatures and the governor. And if the bill is passed into law and signed by the governor, then the statutes here are legal and enforceable.
Thank you, Mr. McCormick. Ms. Olson, Representative Pepin.
So if the legislature were to approve this bill, we would give then carte blanche authority for the commissioner to put medicinal marijuana, if he or she so chose, as part of this clinical trial. Mr. McCormick, it looks like, I'm trying to find kind of the end date here. It looks like that there's an expiration of the task force. It says the task force on medical cannabis therapeutic research expires on June 30th, 2019, or upon the conclusion of the clinical trial, whichever is later. So I don't see a sunset on clinical trials. So it looks like the clinical trials, which is an interesting term for it, is ongoing. So it looks like to me like one person, whoever the commissioner is, gets to decide if we're going to allow treating medical conditions that are listed with smoking marijuana.
Ms. Olson?
Madam Chair, Representative Pepin, the bill itself is what would be allowing the treatment with medical cannabis, so it would be the passing of the bill that would allow the clinical trials to go forward. The bill as it stands right now would allow the commissioner to add different methods of delivery of the medical cannabis, but it would not change that medical cannabis was being used in clinical trials, and it would also allow the commissioner, as it stands, to add other medical conditions to the list of qualifying conditions, but it would not detract from the list that already exists. As far as the sunsetting of the clinical trials, there is not a date that specifically says that the clinical trial needs to be ended by. There is an expiration for the task force, as you pointed out, and for reports to be done by.
Representative Pepin.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Pepin, if I just could just pause for one moment. Representative Moline, can you tell me again what you'd like to do with Representative Ward's amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I would just like members to adopt the first part of Representative Ward's amendment to remove the provision that is getting a lot of questions asked about.
Thank you.
Are there further questions? Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam.
Madam Chair, I can consult with our staff privately on that question, if you'd like.
However you'd like to proceed. Thanks.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just had a clarifying question, not on the rulemaking, but so other method approved by the commissioner. I think during our lives we've seen a lot of changes with things, so the development of the patch, or we have a whole medical device industry with pumps or stents, other types of things. So would those be precluded with the ward amendment?
Representative Moline.
Yes, Madam Chair, and Representative Hansen, yes, they would.
Are there further questions on the A7, the first half of the A7 divided? Seeing no further questions, and everyone's clear on the vote, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
And those opposed, say no.
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 And that motion is adopted. Representative Ward.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The second part of the amendment, Madam Chair, you know what, this eliminates the discretion of the commissioner to add illnesses, so to speak, add criteria illnesses of inclusion for the bill. And so the more I thought about it, actually I checked with my little friend Lincoln's parents, and unfortunately, as I talked to Representative Moline about this, is, you know, he's one of the, he may qualify. We've talked about that, Representative Moline, but he may not as well. So, you know, the more I thought about it, members, the more I think, you know what, I'm going to withdraw this, because I don't want to eliminate the possible help for perhaps others. And so I'm going to withdraw this portion of the amendment, with the understanding that going forward, you know, we need to address that concern. So I'm going to withdraw the second part of the amendment.
Representative Ward withdraws the second half of his amendment. Representative Norton?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I asked a simple question earlier, and Representative Moline answered it the way I thought she would, but I think as we've just had this discussion again about the clinical trials, and there's nothing in the state currently that disallows clinical trials from being occurring. And so we're talking about when there's a deadline to clinical trials, they can still be going on outside of this piece of legislation. And so I just want to be clear that no matter what we put in here for this particular bill, if a research facility chooses to go forward with clinical trials on THC or some other method, they can still do so. And that's why I was asking the question earlier, that I want to make sure that whatever we put in here doesn't negate what might happen outside of this piece of legislation, which is currently allowed by law. So just as we move forward, I hope we can keep that thought in mind and make certain that we aren't going to do anything that will limit what we currently allow by law that isn't happening, unfortunately, to the extent I think we would all like it to be happening. But so we can just continue to have that discussion as we move ahead in the week or two.
Thank you, Representative Norton. Do you have any further amendments?
No, Madam Chair.
So the bill is in the order that the author would like it. I'm wondering if we could have testifiers now. if there are any other questions for committee members before testifiers. Okay. We have six people that would like to testify. And for the testifiers, I would say if you can be brief and succinct, it will help us. We're really glad you're here. I have Paige Figge, Angie Weaver, Christy Pauling, Angela Guerin, who may or may not be here. Okay, she's not here, and Martha Schultz. And if you would join Representative Moline, that would be great. And if you could introduce yourself up for the record, and welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. My name is Paige Figge. I'm here from Colorado. I'm a mother. My daughter is Charlotte. She has Dravet syndrome. There's a couple kids here that also have the same syndrome. It's a severe intractable epilepsy. 2.5 years ago, we we ran out of medical options. We pursued a strain of cannabis, high in cannabidiol, low in THC, a non-psychoactive strain of cannabis, treated her. She was end of life. She didn't have much longer to live, and I mean, nothing left to try. And it worked, and it was sort of this miracle story, and there's this big following nationwide, worldwide, around this backdoor research, I guess I'd call it, because we didn't go through FDA trials, and because we couldn't. And I know that there are some happening, but it's extremely difficult, the red tape, to study this plant. So they named the strain after her. It's Charlotte's Web. We run a nonprofit in Colorado supporting the people growing this medicine, supporting the parents moving, that are leaving Minnesota to move to Colorado to get access to this medicine. So I'm just here to you know, explain my role in the company, explain what I'm supporting these parents, whatever they're asking for to get access to this plant, I'm in support of, because I'm a success story, and I'm seeing hundreds of these children in Colorado, a success story. So what we're seeing is an 85% efficacy rate on pediatric intractable epilepsy. 85% of the children trying this medicine have a 50 to 100% seizure reduction. So it's just, I think what we'll see very soon here is that it's just the next epilepsy treatment. It needs to be studied, and that's always been my drive, is to have good science on this. Because there is so much red tape, I am very much in support of what is happening in Minnesota to back that. It is going to take a long time. So what our organization is doing is we're doing the research ourselves, the double-blind placebo clinical trials in South America, so that we can have access to faster data. We're retrospectively studying these patients. We're doing prospective studies. We have the world's top epilepsy researchers paired with us as our leading these trials. So what we do in Colorado in the meantime is we support the patients that are moving there for medicine. We keep the price at a nonprofit price point that doesn't go above 5 cents a milligram. It's lab tested. We have our own Pfizer chemist, our own laboratory, and then that's not good enough. So we actually send the medicine out that they order and to a third-party lab. So we get an objective, blind third-party laboratory checking the medicine. And so we're kind of setting the standard for this whole industry and this medicine, because we're seeing it's working, because we have demand. I think our wait list is 10,000 pediatric patients right now worldwide. We're represented. 50 states have moved to Colorado. 43 countries are on the waiting list. And we need to expand access to this. And so I'm just offering our organization to our transparency. So if you have questions or want to look in or ask what we're doing or look at our data, I just want to make that available to you. The rules and regulations in Colorado are pretty stringent for medical marijuana, and we have the people who've written the law and who've worked with the regulation are available as well. They've been there and done that, and they can offer their expertise. If you're stuck in the law enforcement side of things, you can run this in a very cautious way where it's highly regulated. So, for example, our grows are inside. Our medical marijuana grows are indoors under glass greenhouses, and they're 24-hour video surveillance, laser, security. So there's a person there 24 hours a day. Things like that we have it written into the law, but we have done this not only because it's from a law enforcement perspective that we want to keep this from being abused, this particular strain of plant that we grow, and we grow many, but this is 80% of our production is Charlotte's Web. We want to keep it protected. This is a non-abusable form of cannabis, so it isn't, the abuse potential is not there. It's not an issue. We do grow THC, high THC plants for cancer, and that's such a thing. And we do sell that in a smokable form. Charlotte's Web is not sold in a smokable form. So there's really no abuse with that plant, but we still are very protective of our situation. So we have, these systems in place to keep this cautious and secure, and you can do the same thing here in Minnesota for your patients that are asking for it, so they don't have to move. And then the ones that have left, who can't be here, the medicine cannot leave Colorado, can come home and have this. So I just want to offer that support for this bill. And here, if you have any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Vicki. Representative Purcell.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The various combinations chemical combinations patent protected now that you have?
We have trademarked it. We have patented the process, and we're trying to patent the plant profile because we keep it extremely consistent. The patients, this is a seizure drug. You can't stop and start. You can't run out, and you cannot change the consistency. So we're working on it. It's a long process, but we've begun that process.
Are there other questions?
Madam Chair,
Representative Moline.
I just wanted to provide some comments regarding, because I often get asked, well, you know, Charlotte's Web has been such a success, and they have a waiting list of 10,000. I know a couple hundred of those are from Minnesota. I know there's people in the room that are on the waiting list to get this medicine in Colorado. So I often get asked, well, why can't we just bring that medicine here to Minnesota? And what I respond is, I wish that we could do that. But federal law prohibits us from getting that medicine to Minnesota, which is why, you know, we carefully crafted this bill to allow it to be manufactured in Minnesota. I mean, it's absolutely necessary to have a successful medical cannabis program to be able to grow it in the state. So, you know, if we lived in the perfect world, we wouldn't have to have 10,000 kids on a waiting list, and we'd be able to get that medicine to the states or countries where it needs to go. But unfortunately, that is not possible under federal law, which is why we are establishing a separate program here in Minnesota. But I think, you know, I would encourage members to, you know, read the story of Charlotte's Web and, you know, what they have had successes with in Colorado as far as not only seizure reduction in these kids, but these kids are actually regaining some cognitive skills that they had lost as a result of the amount of seizures they were having, you know, bringing back their ability to speak and ride bike and play. And, you know, I think those are some pretty miraculous results that, you know, these kids have not obviously seen with traditional pharmaceuticals. And so, you know, if members have time to look into some of that on their own, I think that they would be surprised with some of the results that they're having. And I want to thank Ms. Figge for coming all the way from Colorado just for our hearing today. And I know that she has a flight out this evening, but she will be around for a little bit if members have any other questions of her and their experience in Colorado.
Representative Moline, Ms. Figge, I did have just a couple of questions, and I would love to visit with you when you're done, and thanks for coming to Minnesota. I am wondering if you can talk just a little bit more about the lab aspect that you were talking about, and its respect to the quality control in terms of the medication, its dosage, if you could just walk us through that,
sure.
That would be helpful.
Thank you, Madam Chair. What we do is we lab test it on an HPLC. It's kind of a common machine that you would use to do this sort of thing. And we have to have a standard that, again, we've set. There's not a rule for this, but we've set the standard for the children that it has to have that consistency, and it's destroyed if it doesn't. And then we also send it out to a third party. So we cultivate. It's a vertical integration in Colorado, so we cultivate, we manufacture, and we dispense 70% of what we grow. We have to dispense our own. So we are we are in control of the Charlotte's Web strain, and we grow that. We lab test the plant, the dried plant, to make sure it's oil makeable into an oil. And then we test the oil, and then we offer different milligram per milliliter solutions, different concentrations. And they're all lab tested at our lab, and then they're third-party lab tested as well. The dosing protocol, it's actually the same dosing protocol that I came up with Charlotte was the first child in the state of Colorado to do this, the first young child. And we just, you know, I looked at research. We came up with the dosing protocol, doctor-supported, research-supported, and it's still the same dosing protocol that parents are finding that works. And everyone fits into this bell curve of therapeutic range of milligrams, and we base the doses on milligrams per pound body weight per day. And we're not doctors, so we're not prescribing this or telling, or, you know, we're not running a clinical trial in Colorado. We can't do that. But we are making a suggestion saying this is what is working. And we're finding that the children fall into a therapeutic milligram per pound range. It's backed up by the studies happening right now with GW Pharmaceuticals. It's backed up by the research and published medical articles for decades. And we're tracking that patient base with our doctors that are following us right now, and more are coming on board. We have the backing of the epilepsy foundations and neurologists, and so it's a working therapy. The safety of this is well documented. It's a well documented safety profile of this plant. In 5,000 years of use, we haven't seen an overdose, and so we need to learn more about this. The patients that I'm speaking to are kids that aren't going to live probably to adulthood. I don't mean to be insensitive, but these are kids that don't have many options. This isn't a gateway drug for these patients. This is actually, for my daughter, it was an exit drug. It got her off of all of her pharmaceuticals, possibly the first Dravet kid on the planet to be this long pharmaceutical free, 2.5 years almost now. So we are very cautious. We're very consistent. We want the research. We are in it for a nonprofit. And I think that's just the way it needs to be done. What the patients do when they come in, they start in with our nonprofit. They don't walk into the store and perhaps their medicine is there that day. They order it and they are guaranteed they will not run out of medicine once they start with us. We'd rather have that system and a wait list than a potential running out of a seizure drug. So we're very, very cautious, mainly because the people, the volunteers like myself who are running this are mothers of children, and we have a bar that is much higher. So we're somewhere in between a pharmaceutical company and an herbal supplement, like a food supplement, and we treat it that way.
I just have one more question for you, and that is, how is Charlotte?
She's amazing. She's off oxygen. She's off her feeding tube. This is a child who was like a 1 month old, catatonic, seizing every 20 minutes. She has one or two a month, 99.9% seizure control for over 2 years. And she can walk again. She can talk again. And she has a twin sister, so she has her life back again. They are friends again. And it's been shocking. It's noteworthy. It's worth fighting for. It's a medical treatment. This information was not reaching me before. We're a conservative family. My husband was military, and he's in Afghanistan right now, actually. And it's... The medical marijuana industry was not reaching me as a medicine. I was seeing the abuse. And it really turned my mind around to see my child wake up from this catatonic state. And now I'm out here advocating. I never in a million years would thought I'd be sitting here at a marijuana hearing. But it works. And these are parents who don't even go on vacation. They don't go on their make-a-wish trips. These kids are too sensitive to even be in this room right now. And it's worth fighting for, and that's why they're here.
And Representative Purcell, and then we're going to hear from the families as well.
Just a point of clarification. I thought I heard the acronym High Performance Liquid Chromatography was your methodology on your instrumentation, eh?
That's correct.
Okay. Representative Norton?
Yes, thank you very much for your testimony, and it's quite compelling, and I'm very appreciative for all the work you've put into this. One of the things that seems missing from your bill, Representative Moline, I hate to even mention this because I know you've worked so hard to get it where it is right now, is an issue that has come up, which is the federal government is still a barrier for the states. And so I guess I would like to suggest that perhaps, if it's appropriate, that someone who works on language might put something in here that the Department of Health lobby is not the right word, but write a letter to the federal level, encouraging them to lift the restrictions. It's, you know, rather than just waiting and hoping it happens, let's ask them to do it. So I would just suggest, as you move ahead, you might add that in here.
Thank you, Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair, for the indulgence. And it seems to me, listening to the testimony, and I think I heard you mention two or three times you were a nonprofit. Is that correct? So it seems what you're talking about is the democratization of care to the public. Rather than having this be about money and delivering of medicine, the suite of
chemicals and chemistry that's approved for patients, that this is something that you were able to do on your own for your child, and that you're not alone. And that seems to be the kind of the crux of the issue here. We have the federal government that will not allow certain things, and we're debating whether we as the state should allow certain things. But a key thing that you've told me is that you're a nonprofit. So I would say that your motives are pure.
Thank you very much for being here in Minnesota. I hope you're enjoying your stay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Angie Weaver and the other parents, if you want to come up as well. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. So I had several pages I was going to read to you, but I listened to you when you said it's Friday, it's Amelia's birthday, and you would like me to be brief.
Thank you.
My daughter Amelia, my name is Angie Weaver. This is my husband Josh Weaver and our daughter Amelia. Amelia has Dravet syndrome, which Paige just shared about. It was awesome to listen to her tell me that story and how well her daughter is doing. But as a mother, seeing where Amelia is at right now, it breaks my heart because we live in Minnesota. Amelia is denied what Charlotte has. Since age 4, Amelia's lost the ability to talk. She's lost the ability at times to eat and walk. She suffers from 30 to 50 seizures a day. She's strapped into her wheelchair or held by a parent at all times. Every seizure could be her last. She is battling and fighting for her life. And now we're being asked to either move to another state and leave all of our family and friends and support group, our job and health care, and move and start all over to get our daughter medicine or stay and fight in Minnesota. We have tried 23 anticonvulsant medicines. Amelia has failed every single one of them. She has liver damage, brittle bones, nausea at times, vomiting. She's had a severe allergic reaction, and yet still seizures. Nothing is working. Seizures have stolen her childhood. We have done nothing but fight this fight with our daughter. We're asking you today to help us. Our families are desperate. Amelia deserves this. This has been an exhausting fight for my family. We've driven from Hibbing 3 days down and back in the last 3 days. We spent 24 hours in the car. We are fighting this fight because this is right for Minnesota. These patients, these families deserve this. And I believe that you are smart enough to figure this out. We need this in Minnesota, and it's what is right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there any questions for me?
Any questions? Thank you for being here today. Thanks for making so many trips. The Paulings, welcome to the committee.
Good afternoon. I'm Christy Pauling. This is my husband, Jeremy, and my daughter, Caitlin. Caitlin is 7 years old and has two older sisters that we left at home today. We are here on behalf of Caitlin. She suffers from Batten's disease and intractable epilepsy. Batten's disease is a neurological disease that is caused by her genes being odd-shaped, and it kills off her brain cells. Every seizure she has kills more brain cells. She is on 10 prescription drugs that have worse side effects than medical cannabis, and they are FDA approved. A few side effects of her medication: she has liver damage, or she could get liver damage, kidney damage, loss of her eyesight. And we feel medical cannabis would be a much safer option for our daughter. We have no other legal choice right now but to give these medications. Caitlin started out as a healthy child, and when she was 3, she started having seizures. We were told by many specialists she would outgrow it. As the seizures got worse and she lost more abilities, we sought out other specialists. When she was 5, we finally got the diagnosis of Batten's disease. Not something a parent wants to hear. She has a life expectancy of 10 to 12 years of age. Since diagnosis, she has regressed back to an 18-month-old. She cannot eat except through her G-tube. She can't walk, she can't talk, and is wheelchair-bound. We have no way of knowing if she's in pain. She can't tell us and constantly has seizures. And the hardest thing for us was to tell her sisters that she's going to die. We are hoping that with legalization of medical cannabis, it will help with seizures, and maybe we'll get a few words again like mom and dad. She has not said since 4 years old. We are just looking for a few more years with her and to help her have a better quality of life. With the procedures and the other remedies that we have looked for, nothing has worked. We heard about Charlotte's Web in Colorado. So we are torn between uprooting our family and moving to Colorado, away from our family, the state we love, or staying here and see what happens. We need this law changed now for safe legal access in the state of Minnesota. We can't just go out to Colorado and bring it home. I'm a registered nurse. I have a state Minnesota nursing license. My husband is a business owner. If we choose to do the illegal route, I run the possibility of losing my nursing license, going to jail, or the most important things, losing my kids. What kind of parents are we if we break the law? And what kind of parents are we if we don't do everything we can for our terminally ill child? We have decided that if Minnesota does not pass the bill legalizing medical cannabis, we will go to Colorado and leave the state that let us down and so many others. This would require uprooting everyone and take my daughters away from grandparents, their aunts, uncles, cousins, and the family values I thought Minnesota offered. When there is treatment that is working for lots of kids in other states, Minnesota needs to be open-minded and give my child and other families a chance at a better quality of life for their loved ones. We are on the waiting list in Colorado, so if this does not go through the session, we have no other choice. We have no other options left. Thank you for listening to my testimony.
Thank you for being here
today.
Are
there any questions?
Are there any questions? Thank you very much. Martha Schultz. Welcome to the committee.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and committee members. Hello, my name is Martha Schultz. My sister Maria would be here to testify today. However, she is currently living in Colorado with her 7-year-old daughter, the pictures are being handed around, and my 7-year-old niece, Greta. They are living there in order to legally access Charlotte's Web, as Paige described, which is a safe and legal liquid form of medical cannabis that Greta takes mixed in with her food 3 times a day. This medical cannabis has been such a miracle for Greta, but since it is not legal in the state of Minnesota, their family made the tough decision to split their family and move to Colorado. Greta and Maria moved to Colorado while Greta's father, Mark, and 2 older sisters, Emma and Laura, again, as you'll see in those photos, ages 13 and 10, live at their home on their family farm in Clinton, Minnesota. Greta started seizing at 5 months of age, was diagnosed with infantile spasms at 7 months, and her condition has further deteriorated into a Lennox-Gastaut syndrome, which is a severe form of epilepsy in which Greta has to endure multiple types of seizures each day and also has severe developmental delay. Mark and Maria have done everything they possibly can to help control Greta's seizures and epilepsy over the past 7 years. To date, Greta has failed over 15 different epilepsy medications, 2 strict specialized diets, and even brain surgery. This past summer, after much research and prayer, Mark, Maria, Emma, and Laura decided that moving part of their family to Colorado was necessary to give Greta the greatest shot at seizure freedom. Greta's longtime epilepsy physician from St. Paul even supported them going to Colorado as he knew that Greta had run out of options to treat her epilepsy. So they went to Colorado, purchased a home, went through the rigorous process of getting Greta approved for medical cannabis, and were finally able to start Charlotte's Web on November 12, 2013. Since starting the medical cannabis, Greta has enjoyed a nearly 80% decrease in her seizure activity, has been able to get off 3 of the 5 pharmaceuticals she was taking, and most importantly, she started doing things like she has never been able to do before, such as being able to hold a spoon, and bring it to her mouth. Greta's teachers in Colorado have been so impressed by her progress that they have increased her time in the mainstream classroom each day. We're also super excited that she recently started giving kisses again. Mm-hmm. As a parent, I don't know who wouldn't enjoy this the most. An ability that her epilepsy and her medications have taken from her from over 3 years ago, but now that is back too. Such amazing progress has been made with giving medical cannabis that Greta is taking. So why in the world can't this family be back together, be able to give Greta the medicine that she needs while in the comforts of her home, with her family around her, here in Minnesota? Bringing the cannabis back to Minnesota would risk a federal felony conviction, child endangerment, and Minnesota's state misdemeanor conviction. Maria, a registered nurse, would also risk losing her master's and bachelor's license in nursing, in addition to possibly losing the access to Charlotte's Web, which is the only treatment that has helped decrease Greta's seizures. This risk is just too great. Greta absolutely adores being with her family, especially with her sisters, and this is something she's only been able to do 18 out of the past 170 days while living in Colorado. Maria and Greta are not only separated from Mark, Emma, and Laura, but also from grandparents, aunts and uncles, cousins, and lots of family friends back in their community. It would be illegal for her to come back to Minnesota, even if it was for a short time. This is just not right, and it sure is not fair. The medical cannabis that Greta is taking in Colorado does not and would never give anyone a high because of the extremely low amount of THC that is in the cannabis she takes. It is safer than any prescription medication she has been on over the past 7 years, but they can't legally bring it here or even access it in their home state of Minnesota. The best medical treatment that Greta has ever had, and it is illegal in our state. This is so unfair and so wrong. You have been elected to serve the people of this great state of Minnesota, and you have the power today to help change this law in Minnesota. For our family's sake and for the sake of so many others who are suffering, please, please pass this bill today and help bring Greta and Maria back home. Thank you for your time and your consideration. Any questions?
Thank you. Are there any questions? Thank you very much for being here today.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Are there others here that are that want to testify in the audience? Daryl Paulson was on my list, but I don't see Mr. Paulson. Representative Pepin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Is the Commissioner of Health available still to testify?
Commissioner is here, Representative Pepin.
Thank you.
Sure. Commissioner Ellinger, would you join us? Welcome to the committee. It's good to see you again.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, I'm Dr. Ed Ellinger, Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Health, and thank you for the opportunity to come and speak to you about Senate File 2470. A few weeks ago, I appeared before the Senate Health and Human Services Policy Committee to testify about a similar bill that would allow marijuana to be used to treat individuals with a variety of medical conditions. As I said at that time, I share the overall goal of those seeking passage of this bill. I'm interested in finding a way to use the powerful chemicals of the marijuana plant to help people who are suffering. From both a professional, I'm a pediatrician and health commissioner, and from a personal experience with a wife who needs personal care attendance, I know how difficult it can be to watch a loved one struggle with major illness. That's why I appreciate the thoughtful work and attempts by the author to revise her bill. I appreciate that she has worked hard to hear from all sides and to find a path forward that meets the concerns of all stakeholders. As I reviewed the bill, it became clear to me that core to accomplishing the goals of this bill is having access to stable, reliable, and secure source of marijuana that can be processed into high and consistent quality medications. The bill proposes that we first seek federally approved medical cannabis, and we are already in conversations with federal agencies about that. However, if a federal source is unavailable, the bill directs us to contract with one manufacturer for the production of all medical cannabis products. The bill is silent about how that should happen. It may be that some manufacturer or grower will be willing to make the substantial investment of this kind in Minnesota, and if so, that would be great. If not, we have no other mechanism for developing the manufacturing facility. Without that, the rest of the activities outlined in this bill could not move forward. The bill assumes that a manufacturer will be ready and capable of delivering medicine to eligible patients with the specified composition in the forms outlined in the bill by next summer. That timeline is very aggressive, and there may be serious technical challenges to consistently delivering product with a specific composition and characteristics. Because of this, we need a way to proceed in case no investor comes forward. So I would appreciate some guidance on how to proceed in that situation should the Minnesota Department of Health have the option to advance this forward. The other major goal of this bill involves engaging principal investigators in clinical trials. What we see described in this bill are not clinical trials in the usual sense. They are actually observational studies. I have already begun discussions with my academic research colleagues on whether there would be researchers available and willing to undertake the PI role or the principal investigator role in these studies envisioned by this bill. I suspect that finding principal investigators may be difficult. They may be more interested in traditional clinical trials. Both methods, however, will require substantially more financial support, be they the clinical trial or the observational studies. So as I proceed with my conversations, if I find difficulty with the principal investigators, I will report back to you with that. My department will also, in the coming days, be providing a fiscal note to help members gauge the potential implementation costs of Senate File 2470. So I look forward to working with you on this approach to getting cannabis products to people who may benefit from their properties. Thank you very much.
And Commissioner, I want to thank you and the staff from the Department of Health for your technical assistance thus far and your continued support in our efforts to find a path forward are my deep request to you. I've been grateful to the Department of Health, the Department of Human Services, and the Department of Public Safety for your technical guidance. And if we're to find a solution that we can send to the governor, we're going to need the continued support and guidance and wisdom that you're going to be able to provide for us. So I'm grateful that you're here today. I'm grateful for your openness, and I look forward to our continued work together. Thank you. Are there questions for the commissioner? Representative Pepin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Commissioner, thank you for being here. I appreciate your perspective. And one of my concerns with the bill is that it's difficult for me to determine whether to support this or not to support this when it hasn't gone through the committee process. It's skipped several of the committees. One of the committees I sit on deals with rulemaking. And the staff person who generally deals with rulemaking questions isn't here to answer some questions. I do have some concerns because it's not just you going forward. It might be, you know, various commissioners through the years. And so I'm wondering, just out of curiosity and with your experience so far, on you talked about some of the clinical trials and some of your concerns, but on 2.29, one of the amendments that Representative Ward had, and that was we didn't deal with, was that any other medical condition or its treatment approved by the commissioner, and there's probably other things in here. First of all, do you view in reading this bill that you have the rulemaking authority, or do you view that would have to come back to the legislature to specify? And then if you do have rulemaking authority, how would you go about determining what other medical conditions to add?
Commissioner?
Madam Chair, Representative Pepin. I do see that there will be a need for rules in this. There are lots of questions, and there's no provision in this for rulemaking. So we would really look for direction from the legislature on how to promulgate those rules. So there will be some need for that. And as far as other qualifying conditions, I think there. A lot of this has come forward because there was a demonstration that people had been benefiting from the use of cannabis, and there may be other conditions that come forward that should be addressed and looked at as potentially being included in that list. But I think there would be some rules necessary for how to proceed in doing that.
Representative Pepin.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Commissioner. I think that that's important, too. Usually in bills that come through the Government Operations Committee, it specifies whether it's the normal rulemaking process, if it's a good cause exemption, expedited. And usually, my recollection is it usually says one way or the other, so it seems like there should be some amendment or something that goes in here that specifies the rule process. Representative Moline, would you be willing for me to work with Mr. Shepard, who, or Mr. McCormick, maybe you can comment on this, but Mr. Shepard generally deals with this, just to at least specify and to give some comfort language on exactly what the rulemaking process is, since this is such a, I mean, I think it's important that before we vote on this on the House floor, we know exactly, since this is, could be, you know, ongoing, and there seems to be no sunset on the clinical trials, we don't know how each different agent or the commissioner through the years will approach this. And so, as he said, he's looking for guidance. And so I'm wondering if you'd consider working with or having me work with Mr. Shepard to at least put a provision in here in rulemaking so that we would know what the process is, especially in light of the bill that we heard earlier. We're not really sure if this is something that's going to be, you know, that's going to have the usual number of, there's a certain number of days and there's a certain number of hearing requirements. And I would give me a lot more comfort language because, again, I'm kind of on the fence on this bill, to be honest, and I think if it would have had more time to go through all the committees, it would have been good. But in the very least, I think that there should be rules so there's so the commissioner and the future commissioners will know if there were to make changes in any of these things, what the legislature is expecting for the process.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Pepin, you are certainly welcome to work on language with Mr. Shepard or the Department of Health or anyone that you think could provide some beneficial guidance on any rulemaking aspects, and I would be happy to take a look at it before our next committee stop or before the floor.
Representative Pepin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Maybe I'll touch base with you online, but I don't, to be honest, I don't want to spend the time, spend hours and hours. I think it's very important that and I'm not even suggesting, I'm not even going to say which rules that I think it shouldn't go through expedited rulemaking, but this is unclear at all what the rules should be, and I think it's only fair for the Department of Health, and so I would hope that you'd be willing to put something in, even if it's not a rule, the rules process that I would go through. So I guess if you could provide a little bit more direction, if you're willing to put some reference in, because, you know, frankly, it's very unclear here as to what the process would be. And I think the commissioner is right that it should go through the rulemaking, and that this should go to the rulemaking process. But since it doesn't say anything in here, my concern, and we can check this out later. But my concern is that if it's not going through the rulemaking process, then it's up to the legislature to direct exactly which medical conditions. And so I feel really uncomfortable because I don't think it's clear at all in here, and. I don't want to spend the time to do it if you're not going to accept it. I don't know, maybe other members could speak. I'm not even suggesting which is the best rulemaking process. I just think it has to be clear. Is this something where it's going to go through the rulemaking process, or is this something where the legislature is going to make a determination? I think it has to be one way or the other, but others can speak on it, I guess, if they want.
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Commissioner, you had mentioned about lack of a source as a potential stumbling block, lack of a source of material as a stumbling block. And I'm asking if you've had any communication with the University of Minnesota. I mean, we have a number of agricultural research facilities around the state. There is, if it was in the public domain in terms of the source, I would think there you'd have the not-for-profit, the lack of patenting, the open source issues that could be done in a secure environment, but also be done with the public benefit of providing for the clinical trials. Has there been any communication with the University of Minnesota?
Commissioner.
Madam Chair, Representative Hansen, I have had some very preliminary discussions with the university just in mentioning that we may be coming back to talk with them. Also had conversations with the Commissioner of Agriculture on how we might proceed with this, but again, very preliminary in our discussions.
And Representative Purcell.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Commissioner, just to the point about conditions that you may or may not be asked to add to the list for medical cannabis, this would be something you would look at, an empirical evidence-based kind of situation where you can find any empirical evidence or evidence that's garnered through science, and that's how I'm looking at this, that we're set out on a on a venture of science here, if you will, that we're trying to learn as much we can, and that you would bring that to bear as you look forward into other conditions.
Members and Representative Purcell, as Ms. Figge said, we need a lot more research. We need a lot more data. And this is one of the reasons why we've been advocating that we need to really look at the components of cannabis and how we can really put it into the medical armamentarium to make it part of what good clinical medical care is all about. And certainly as we see what's going on around the country, we will learn more information. The federal government is doing multiple clinical trials on cannabis in a variety of settings. We will be learning from that. And if this goes forward, I hope we will learn some other pieces of information that we can make as part of that. I am a physician. I like to have evidence-based practice. So we want the evidence to say what we can do that actually improves the lives of children, whose stories you've heard in this hearing.
Are there other questions for the commissioner? Thank you very much for making a visit. It's nice to see you. Happy Friday afternoon. And I just want to let folks know I was talking with Representative Pepin a little bit about the question about rules. And we'll talk with you offline about that as well. Okay. Are there other questions for the author of the bill? Representative Lush.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Rep. Sam Moline, you probably know that in past sessions, I have been an opponent of moving in this direction for medical marijuana for the state of Minnesota. And most of the time my reasons, and this was prior to the time my dad got sick, but most of the time my reasons were because in my experience as a prosecutor for the city of St. Paul, I do ride-alongs, and it seems like small amounts were never really much of an issue for most of the cops that I knew. It was water off a duck's back. Unless it was related to some other issue, they'd tag them for small amount of marijuana or marijuana in a motor vehicle, and it wasn't a big deal. Of course, I started thinking a little bit differently after my dad got sick, but even that didn't totally do it for me. What did it for me is knowing Angela Guerin, who I've known for over 10 years, but I don't know however many years, ever since she was a server up at Louisiana Cafe. For those of you who go to Louisiana Cafe up at Selma and Dale there, she used to be a server when she was in high school. Paid her own way in high school, and she's going to private high school too. And the experiences that she's had with her family have been extraordinary. And mostly it's me keeping in touch with Angela and through her Facebook page, but because your bill never got to any of the committees on which I sat. And so this is the first time that, other than hearing from Angela, that I've heard from some of these families in here today. And I will tell you that after hearing the experiences of these families, I am incredulous that there is such a stance in opposition to your bill. I understand the slippery slope argument. I understand it perfectly. Heck, I made a slippery slope argument yesterday on a bill on the floor, okay? And sometimes it's valid. I know it was slippery slope. Okay. I understand that. But in this case, I just can't for the life of me understand it. So I would have loved to have been a part. I would have loved to have your bill come to my committee so I could understand the scope of the opposition. Because right now, after hearing the proponents of these families who want this for their families, I can't for the life of me understand why we would stand in the way of this. And I start to wonder about other tangential reasons of why that could be, other motives. And I imagine those only because I haven't heard about it in committee. Maybe if I heard about it in committee, I could be disabused of those notions. But absent that, thank you for all the work that you've done to arrive at this solution. I think you've done well more than is your share, of the work just to in order to see that these families are afforded some measure of relief and justice for their kids. So thank you.
Thank you, Representative Leshen. I just want to say that I have been a supporter of, I have voted in the past for other authors' efforts on medical marijuana, and this is the year that I had an opportunity to learn and hear more and understand better some of the perspectives coming from the medical community, and I'm a part of that as a registered nurse, but hearing, you know, some of those perspectives and the perspectives of law enforcement, and there are legitimate concerns. And what Representative Moline is bringing to us today represents a true compromise. And with that, it's never easy. But compromise, I know the last 24 hours or 46 hours or however long it's been have been difficult for you as people are understanding the compromise that you've brought forward and what that means. But I think it was Angie who said it best. She said this yesterday and talked again today about Amelia not having to wait any further, not wait any longer for some relief. And, you know, I do think there's a very compelling reason for us to consider this legislation, obviously, and that's why we're here today. We are working hard to find that sweet spot, right, of a path forward that, you know, comports with the concerns that we're hearing from law enforcement but also brings relief. And some inquiry, right? Some inquiry and some learning from this, whether it's a clinical trial or an observational research. I think there's value in learning, and I'm grateful that Ms. Figge was here today to talk about the research that is ongoing, the randomized double-blind research that's happening around the preparation that they have discovered and they are producing. So I want to let people know that Representative Moline has been working, has already begun to address concerns that have emerged since this her bill was released yesterday, and that work will continue. And I am grateful for the help from anyone who is willing to give it to us to make sure that we can get this into the shape, the best shape that it can. I know Representative Moline's intent is to get medication to people who are suffering, and that's been your driver all along, and I think you told a good story here today, and so I want to thank you for that and for the work that you've been doing, and really for everybody who's helped us to get to this place, whether an opponent or not. I think everybody's perspective has helped us to get to this place today. Are there any other questions? Representative Doubt.
Thank you, Madam Chair, you know, Representative Pepin raised some points that I think are very valid about that language on 2.29, and I hope, you know, we've been trying to debate whether to offer the second half of the amendment that was withdrawn or reoffer it and have a discussion about. I think there are some problems with that language, and I know we spoke offline here just briefly about needing to do some work on that, but I hope, I think, you know, we won't offer that that second half of the amendment and have that discussion as long as we can get a commitment from you that we're willing to work on that language, because the intent here is I think you can see the intent, but I don't know that it's clear on how that would be carried out. So, and I think a longer discussion and a better discussion is probably deserved on that language, because it there are quite a few questions surrounding that. So I'm hoping, and maybe the author would care to weigh in on that again.
Representative Moline.
Madam Chair, and Representative Doubt, and Representative Pepin, I you know, would certainly be willing to look at whatever it is you bring forward. To me, it is important to allow flexibility to add other medical conditions in the future. And I actually think these kids are the perfect example of why. When this bill was passed and vetoed in 2009, at that time we had no idea that seizures responded to the treatment of medical cannabis. And that condition was not prescribed in that legislation in 2009. And so as we move forward, and there are 21 states with legalized medical marijuana, and as we discover that more conditions are responding to that sort of treatment, I think, you know, allowing their to be conditions added is important. The rulemaking
process generally concerns me because of the length of time it takes to promulgate those rules. And, you know, you can be looking at 18 months to 2 years. And so I would rather have it, I guess, prescribed in statute how that process might work. So maybe moving forward, adding some clarity, you know, would not be out of the question. I just want to be careful that we're not tying the hands too much of the department.
Representative Dowd.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Moline. I think, and I think that's just the issue. The one line, I think, leaves some questions open. So, and I think there probably are some other options, you know, maybe an expedited rulemaking process or something, but probably should be better defined. But I think maybe we'll save that discussion, have it offline. And this one has at least a couple more. I know this isn't a conventional path that this is traveling, but maybe at one of the next stops we can address that particular line a little closer. And I just want to say, too, I don't get to hear a lot of bills in committee because I don't sit on any committees, but I do appreciate the work that you have done, and I know you've spent a lot of time and effort working on this issue, so I do appreciate that.
Representative Norton.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Well, Representative Moline, we've talked a little bit. In the past, I have not been a supporter of some of the bills that have been brought forward because of what was in the bill, not because I didn't want to provide relief. I think this pleases me. I think it's where I had kind of been poking you earlier this year, and I know we exchanged some texts. I've never been not supportive of medical cannabis, the use of it. I just I have also lived in a family and have watched addiction. And so it is really hard in my job and in my personal family to look at addiction and know that I couldn't be responsible for opening the door further to access for youth in particular. So that's been the part of the bill that's bothered me all along, and the growing of plants in backyards or basements, the easy access and the smoking. And your bill has addressed all of those concerns. And I'm thrilled that there's a, you know, we're on the brink of doing something here in the state of Minnesota. And I hope you'll continue to do some work on the language with clinical trial and making sure we have true help that's coming out of those clinical studies. And I was thrilled to hear that the Charlotte's Web Group is doing some clinical research in another country, that at least we can have some really good access to information. But I also want to mention, and I've talked to some folks about this, this bill, while 21 states have done it, is asking me to vote for something that's against federal law. And that's very difficult because I take my role here, you know, very seriously in writing law and statute, and there have been other bills over the years where people want to do something that's against federal law, and that's been one of the reasons that I've said no. It's against federal law. I'm not going to support that. Having said that, I really think, and as I said, I do hope we write something. We can put something in here to write to the federal level and ask them to get their derriers in gear and help the rest of the state so they don't all have to go through this pain of, are we really going to break federal law by doing this or ignore federal law or what have you. But I'm ready to do that with a really good bill, and I think you're really on the cusp of that, and I'm willing, you know, happy to support this going ahead. And I just want to say thank you. I hope you know my communication with you has I have such great respect for the work that you've done here at the legislature, this being one great example. But we still need to listen to each other and our ideas, and you have, and I appreciate that. So thank you.
See no further questions. Representative Moline.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members, for spending so much time with me on a Friday afternoon, a nice Friday afternoon. I really, truly do appreciate that. And for the members that had nice things to say, I swear I didn't pay anybody to say those things, but thank you. And the families that have been back and forth to the Capitol a lot this session. And have learned
She's smiling about it, at least. Have learned far more about the political process than I think any of them ever imagined, and they probably are hoping they can forget some of it. But I do want to thank them for their involvement and patience with this process that we go through here. And I want to thank Ms. Figge for coming all the way from Colorado to provide some really important testimony that I think was important for the committee to hear. And, you know, this isn't the last stop. I am, you know, certainly open to suggestions and adjustments to make sure that we do have the best bill possible when it hits the House floor. So I'm more than willing to work with members on that. And with that, Madam Chair, I would appreciate the support of members on 2470 as amended.
Representative Mullane renews her motion to re-refer Senate File 2470 as amended to Ways and Means. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. And those opposed, say no.
No.
And that motion is adopted. Representative Mullane, thank you. Thank you, everybody, for spending so much time here. The meeting is adjourned.